This is a special edition of the RTI Press Pass, powered by Rocky Top Insider. Here are your hosts, Rick Butler and Ryan Shumpert.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the Rocky Top Insider Press Pass podcast. My name is Rick Butler, joined to my left, that is, as always, Ryan Shumpert. We are sitting up here in the boxes at Thompson Bowling Arena, overlooking an empty stadium. Basketball is done being played inside this building for the year, but Tennessee has at least one more game on their schedule, and that, of course, is the NCAA tournament. Ryan, happy Selection Sunday, happy Bracket Day, happy St. Patrick's Day. Maybe happy St. Peter's Day,
happy
right?
Saint
That's
Peter's,
the opponent for Tennessee.
Happy
so
St. Petersburg Day.
There you go. St. Pete Day.
St. Pete Day.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing
long
well.
Weekend for us both.
Yeah, long weekend, but not as long as it could have been. I mean, I guess I shouldn't do this because no one listening cares about this, but I had a second. I really felt bad for all the Auburn writers. I mean, you're sitting there frantically covering Auburn winning the SEC tournament this evening, and then the bracket comes out real quick after, and they figure out that they're going to Spokane, Washington.
Yeah.
And they have to figure out how to get to from Auburn, Alabama to Spokane, Washington by Wednesday, at least Thursday. Wednesday if they want to be there for the pre-media. So I'm doing better, and I say that to say we had a little bit of time off this weekend. Tennessee had a quick bounce.
We did. I got to sleep in. I'll tell you what. It was
so
nice.
That was a little bit refreshing from not a Tennessee losing standpoint, but from a from a not being so hectic heading into the tournament. But that 2 days of, not even 2 days, day and a half of less hecticness is over. We have a bracket. We have opponents for Tennessee, and we get back to the fun of Tennessee basketball playing in the NCAA tournament.
That's right. Going off what you said, we have a bracket. We have opponents. We have future opponents. But maybe most importantly, we have storylines.
We do have storylines.
Because it's one thing to have, you know, what is it, 32 games, 35 games, maybe 36 in total with a play-in, something like that.
Yeah, 36 in total with a play-in.
That's great to have and all. I think anybody who's a fan of the sport just wants as much college basketball as possible. But, man, does it add that extra little bit when there's a couple of storylines to it, and certainly Tennessee's does. Let's kind of take it from the top, and then we'll go detailed. We'll broaden things out from there. Just looking at Tennessee, Tennessee gets the 2-seed draw in the Midwest region, which will be up in Detroit. That is the bottom right of your bracket if you are looking at it on ESPN. And again, Tennessee being the 2-seed in the region, Purdue is the 1-seed. I think that's a big notable storyline for Tennessee sort of going into this. Purdue falls off of the overall number 1-seed during the conference tournament slate. They move down to the Midwest region, and Tennessee matches up with Purdue, a team that Tennessee lost to back in Maui at the beginning of the year. We'll get to more of the other teams in the bracket, though. Tennessee's first game of the tournament against number 15, St. Peter's. If you remember, going back 2 years ago, Ryan, you and I were Indianapolis for it. St. Peter's, as a 15 seed, I believe.
As a 15 seed, yep.
Took down 2-seed Kentucky in the first round. That was right after Tennessee's first win over
Longwood
and the Peacocks. They made huge waves in that tournament. Obviously, they were a Cinderella pick. They were a team that everybody loved. And I specifically remember a lot of Tennessee fans jumping onto the Peacocks bandwagon. Now, though, they got to see them on the other end of the ring in the other corner. And that certainly provides for a little bit of a fun juxtaposition.
It does. No, that was kind of my first thought or whatever when I saw St. Peter's for Tennessee was the possibility. You got to avoid a Food City Center situation. And you might say, Ryan, what do you mean by that?
Yeah. I'm not tracking.
Well, Tennessee fans for a decade got to make fun of Kentucky football for being so lame that they named their football stadium Kroger Field, only for Tennessee basketball to turn around and sell the naming rights to Thompson Bowling Arena to a different grocery store in Food City. Well, the last 2 years, and certainly more 2 years ago, Tennessee fans were gleefully enjoying getting to make fun of Kentucky for losing to St. Peter's in a 15 seed in the first round. Well, now they got not only their own St. Peter's of a different 15 seed they have to avoid losing to, they have the same St. Peter's. So they have to avoid a Food City Center situation and knock off 15 seed St. Peter's.
I'll tell you, if there's anything you don't want to upset Big Grocery. Okay, they'll come back.
No shots at Food City, no shots at Kroger.
they'll come back after you though, and then they use those peacocks to their advantage with the with the St. Peters. They're all working together. So that is the first seed the first game that Tennessee will play. Then you move into an interesting matchup. By the way, I should also preface all this by saying Tennessee is going to Charlotte for this first weekend. Ryan, you and I have talked about on this podcast, would Memphis have been good? Yes, of course it would have, maybe even a little bit better. But Tennessee still gets a location that's less than 4 hours away. Charlotte actually a little bit closer to Knoxville for people. But
almost significantly closer from Tennessee's standpoint.
Yeah, a good 2 hours closer. And yes, there's going to be a lot of Carolina fans there and a lot of fans for Tennessee to fight tickets with. Maybe Memphis would have been easier from that perspective. But it's still a place that Tennessee fans will be able to go up to and travel well for. They also play the Thursday-Saturday portion of the slate.
Correct.
That is if they make it past that first game. Now, if they do make it past that first game, you're going to have an interesting matchup right there. Tennessee is either going to play one of the 10 seeds in that region, which would be either 10 seed Virginia or 10 seed Colorado State. That's one of the first four play-in games for the Midwest region. But then the winner of that game will play number 7 or 7 seed Texas in that first round. I know a lot of people are already looking at it. I've already seen group texts start flashing about it. A potential Rick Barnes Bowl rematch from what they've done in the SEC Big 12 crossover 2 years ago, in that second round, 7 seed Texas, 2 seed Tennessee. Again, talk about a storyline.
Yeah, no kidding. A big storyline. I thought Rick Barnes had a funny line. He said, "Well, I figured it would be Texas or Clemson that they got," which is obviously one of the other schools that he coached at before Tennessee. Clemson ends up being a 6 seed in what was the West region, I believe. So, yeah, Tennessee's obviously pretty familiar with Texas. They've played them each of the last 2 years. Rodney Terry, who Texas has had coached under Rick Barnes at Texas when Barnes was there. So a team that's kind of underachieved a little bit this year, but certainly has plenty of talent. And, you know, really no round of 32 game. You don't expect it to be easy.
You know, the Texas matchup to me is funny. It almost seems poetic that in a season in which Rick Barnes crosses the 800 career win mark, that he might potentially have to go through the team that he got the majority of those wins with in order to get to the second round of the NCAA tournament. That right there is what we call a fun storyline to go through. But of course, you just have the, you know, just months away from Texas coming into the SEC. That's an aspect
of it. Too.
Rodney Terry was one of the coaches that sent in sort of a congratulatory video when Rick Barnes hit that 800 win mark. So obviously a lot of respect between those guys, so on and so forth. So just looking at it from a Charlotte perspective, it presents for yourself a fun 4 days. Now, I don't know how it's going to go. Obviously the fan base might not have some fun with it at certain times, but two teams with storylines that'll be prevalent going into the games. And hey, even if it's a Virginia or a Colorado State, maybe one of those advances, you're still going to have something there to get to that second round or second weekend.
Yeah, no, and I mean, from a storyline standpoint, not that this would be nearly as big as a storyline, but I've learned this from reading some I'm blanking on the guy's name, famous sports author Feinstein books recently. Rick Barnes actually was offered and almost went to Virginia to be the head coach in like the early 90s before he ended up taking the Clemson job. So that obviously wouldn't be as big as a storyline, but another Rick Barnes connection there.
Sure.
And really what I would say, I think Colorado, maybe this is my Mountain West bias. I watched a lot of Mountain West basketball. I like the Mountain West a lot. I think Colorado State, you know, besides Tennessee, is the best team in that four. I think they're better than Texas. I think they're better than Virginia. Now it's really challenging to have to win 2 games before that. And I think you'd almost, whether it's Virginia or Colorado State, in some ways that, and I'm saying this as I think Colorado State is better than Texas, but it almost is better for Tennessee in the standpoint of having to play another game and, you know, it'd be the third game in 6 days for whether it's Colorado State or Virginia. So by no means is it a guarantee that Texas would be the team that Tennessee face if Tennessee gets past St. Peter's. And I think Colorado State is a really strong team and to me has one of, if not the best point guard in the country in Isaiah Stevens, who's a super, super fun player.
All right, so let's go ahead and look at that first round matchup real quick. Obviously, we are just, I mean, what is it? Less than 2 hours from when this official prediction came out. A lot of these last 2 hours have been spent doing press conferences. We've talked to Rick Barnes, Santiago Vescovi, and Tobey Awaka here in the last hour and a half or so. So that all goes to say that we haven't done our full Peacock's research yet. But let's kind of just talk about what St. Peter's brings to the table. A team that went 19-13 on the season. They've won their last three games, those being their conference tournament. Ryan, just kind of in your quick research, quick looking around, what can you make of this St. Peter's squad nearly reaching 20 wins on the season?
Yeah, so they finished 19-13, finished third or tied for third in the MAAC, Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference.
That's correct.
Metro.
Metro.
Yeah, so they were, you know, they weren't dominant by any means in their conference. They go and win the conference tournament and get in. And I think that's where you start with the good news. It's not a team that was dominant, one of the best teams in their conference. You look at, they played two games this year against power or Big Six opponents. They lost in the opener to Seton Hall by 11, which I guess that's where we should start, or maybe we should have said this earlier. Seton Hall, when they made that run 2 years ago, Shaheen Holloway was their coach. He left after that run. They're now coached by Bashir Mason. Shaheen Holloway went to Seton Hall, so that was kind of a favor he did to the team that he used to coach for. So they lost by 11 to Seton Hall. They lost by 31 to Rutgers on the road, and they also lost to, I don't know how to pronounce the team name. They made the NCAA tournament.
Duquesne.
Thank you. I mean,
Worry, I'm going to come back to you on a pronunciation here in a minute. So
I hope I do as good as you, because you were Duquesne. On the money there. Duquesne got in the NCAA tournament. I can't remember what seed they were. Relatively high seed, or not. For Duquesne, a relatively high seed. But that game was at Duquesne, and St. Peter's
11.
Lost. They're 11 seed. So St. Peter's lost by 9. St. Peter's 187 on KenPom. So that's all the good, I think, where you look at for Tennessee. I think that's the good part. You want me to get into the bad?
Yes, I'm trying.
Do you have a thought before we get to the bad?
No, go ahead.
Okay, so the bad thought is the matchup. And some of this is hard to tell, but the matchup. This is a team that's good defensively, 76 in KenPom defense, okay. 305 in offense, so really bad team offensively, and adjusted tempo, 338, which is, I can't remember how many teams. That's one of the slowest paced teams in the country.
Oh, man.
So you're talking about a team that is going to be, you know, they're going to try. I don't know if they'll be able to, but they're going to try to slow down the tempo of the game. They're going to try to shorten the possession length. They're going to typically, for a team like a 15 seed, you think they're going to play pretty good defense by that standard and maybe shrink the margin of error for Tennessee. Now, all of that said, it's all back to the good stuff. I mean, this is still a team Tennessee should win by easily. KenPom has Tennessee by 19. I think you have ESPN Bet pulled up. They have Tennessee by 19.
Right.
But to that point, over-under's at 128. I mean, that's the lowest over-under I can think of for a Tennessee game all season. And then one of the things that, you know, I kind of looked at from a slowing down Tennessee is what do they have from a size standpoint? Because you're talking about, again, a small school.
Okay.
Can Tennessee impose their will with Jonas A. do down low? The answer is a little bit of yes, a little bit of no. St. Peter's best forward is Corey Washington. He's their best player. He's 6'6", averages 16.5 points, 6.5 rebounds a game, leads the team. But that doesn't necessarily mean they don't have some big guys they can throw at Tennessee. Mohamed So, could be mispronouncing that. He's a 6'9" big man. He plays over 20 minutes a game. Now just averages 5.5 points, 4.9 rebounds, but a big body. Another guy, really the last guy in the rotation to go. What is this, a full 10 deep?
Yeah.
Stephon Roberts, he only plays 13 minutes a game, but a 6'10 senior, 230 pounds, another big body they can throw at Jonas Adu. So from that standpoint, I'm not really sure what the answer is. Certainly St. Peter's best players, their best options down low are not real big bodies, but they do have some bodies they could potentially throw at Tennessee to try to slow down a Jonas Adu or a Tobey Awaka. So that's kind of the good and the bad for my, again, very quick scout at St. Peter's. I'll have by tomorrow, at least by noon on Monday, I will have a full scout out at St. Peter's, kind of giving my whole thoughts on that game. But like you said, in the 90 minutes since we've gotten the announcement, chance to look at it a little bit. Those are my takeaways.
Monday, a big day over at RyanKentuckManCenter.com. We will also have a little bit of Tennessee football spring practice coverage. Two of the guys that Ryan mentioned just there, Corey Washington, number 3 for the Peacocks, and Muhammad So, number 35 for the Peacocks. Again, both forwards, Washington being 6'6", So being 6'9". Man, just looking at their roster, obviously, as you would expect, a lot of guys from the New Jersey area, from the New York area, from the Maryland area. And if you scroll to the bottom of the roster, you see something that looks a little familiar.
Similar name.
From New York, Armani Ziegler, what we've learned and what has been confirmed as Zakai Ziegler's half-brother.
Correct.
They said, I believe it was Tobey Awaka who said that they were ecstatic when they found out the selection, that they would officially be matching up against the Peacocks. You have Ziegler brother versus Ziegler brother. It sounded like maybe Zakai got on the phone with Armani pretty quickly after that selection was officially announced. But even Santiago Vescovi, he said, you know, hey, we kind of knew that this might be a possibility. Some of the last-minute projections were lining up for that. They kind of knew it was a possibility. But there you go. That'll be fun. Now, it was funny. You know, Santi, I guess, what he told us during his interview, he said, you know, to Zakai, hey, you're going to have to cover your brother. And yeah. Zakai said, no, that's your job. You know, he's 6'4", so you or somebody else can go ahead and take that. Maybe I'll just talk trash on the side, but there you go. So I would imagine that people are talking about that a lot over the week. I'd imagine that we're going to write about it at some point of the week. But Battle of the Ziegler Brothers taking place in Charlotte.
Battle of the Ziegler Brothers, Armani, rotation player, freshman, 19 minutes a game, 6.4 points, 2.6 rebounds, 39% from the field, 62% from the foul line, 35% from three-point range. So not one of St. Peter's top guys, per se, but a guy that's going to play. He's going to be out there on the court throughout the game. And then kind of the other Ziegler connection, you know, St. Peter's was one of, like, the two teams, I can't remember the other, maybe Bryant, that offered Zakai Ziegler, I'm not sure I'd call it early in the process, but maybe in the spring of his senior year, they offered Zakai Ziegler, and they kind of gave him a take-it-or-leave-it scholarship, and yeah. He ends up leaving it. I remember that was a storyline 2 years ago when St. Peter's was, as we've already mentioned, in Indianapolis, the same site as Tennessee, Zakai Ziegler's freshman year at Tennessee. So, an interesting kind of double connection. The Peacocks did not get the elder Ziegler brother, but they get his half-brother, and the two will now face off in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
What I've learned very, very quickly is that he's got some athleticism to him. Watch this dunk. Watch this dunk here, Ryan.
This is good podcasting.
Bang!
That is a nice dunk.
That's nice.
It was great podcasting of a dunk that you guys can't see because this is audio. I can't confirm.
But people can hear the reaction. It's
nice. I can't confirm Rick's breakdown. It is a nice dunk.
It is nice.
It's a good dunk.
He hits him with the whoop, with the okie doke right there at the top. But it was a nice dunk. He's athletic. Obviously, what'd you say, a freshman player?
Freshman, yep.
So about just a tick under 20 minutes a game. I'm sure you will see him on the court against his brother Zakai coming up. But that is a little bit about Tennessee's first round matchup against St. Peter's. Again, we will see, and we will continue to look into the possibility of Tennessee playing either Texas, Colorado State, or Virginia in that second round. Sort of zooming out, though, man, the Midwest region is a death trap. I mean, it is a gnarly region. Obviously, you get to this point in play, and this has been a good year for college basketball, so you can look any of these four quadrants and find good matchups. You can find good teams. But, boy, are there certainly some good teams in this region with Tennessee, including two teams that Tennessee lost to earlier in the year. Now, I do think that those two teams are vastly different as we sit here in mid-March. But, of course, we're talking about number one seed Purdue and four seed Kansas. You also have another team that Tennessee lost to this year at home, but were able to avenge a win on the road. South Carolina is the sixth seed in the region. You're looking at Gonzaga as the five seed in the region, and then the three seed boils down to Creighton. So again, one through six overall in the Midwest, Purdue, Tennessee, Creighton, Kansas, Gonzaga, South Carolina. Again, that's 1-6. Not a bad lineup indeed.
No, it's not. I mean, I feel like the South would be the one I'd call the hardest, and then the Midwest and next. Quick thoughts there. I don't think you can complain a ton from Tennessee's draw. I mean, I think Tennessee wasn't going to go to the West. I didn't see a single prediction ever having them go to the West as a two seed. And I think they got the one seed you'd want the most. I think if I'm Tennessee, I'd rather have Purdue than certainly UConn, but Houston too. That's tough. Kansas, I don't. Obviously, they're on the other side of it, but I don't think Kansas is playing very good basketball right now. Gonzaga, who's ranked as a five seed, way higher than I thought they might be seeded. That's a team that I could see making a run. And then on Tennessee's side, I will say, again, even shorter scout, more just from having watched Creighton a handful of times this year, I think Creighton's a really bad matchup for Tennessee. They are a team that's good offensively, but also plays at a pretty slow pace, and they are good defensively as well. Kalkbrenner's a 7-1 big man who's good on offense, great on defense. Obviously, that's been a common theme for Tennessee all year, struggling with good big men. Combine that with the fact that this is a good team that also plays at a slow pace. Not a great combination.
Yeah.
I do have breaking news mid-podcast.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Game time announcement.
Feel free.
Tennessee, St. Peter's, 9:20 p.m. Eastern time.
Oh!
On Thursday night on TNT.
Oh, let me just... is there a good place for me to jump out this balcony?
What time? I was trying to think about this earlier today.
I'm going to jump. I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. That stinks.
What time did Tennessee play?
That stinks.
What time did Tennessee play against
9:20
Louisiana last year? Do you remember? It was, I think, even later than 9:20.
I do think that they were the last game.
One of the last games, at least. They were the last game at their site, which I'm sure Tennessee will be again.
On a Thursday? Oh, people are not going to be happy about this.
I sometimes forget about all the people that actually have real jobs. And they got to go into work on a Friday.
Yeah,
they don't have the job situation that we do, where it doesn't really matter. Yeah. I mean, we don't like the late games, but it doesn't matter whether it's a late game on a Thursday or a Saturday or
Friday. Are we gonna do on Thursday? Maybe there's a good place to eat. If you're listening to this and you're familiar with the Charlotte area and you're like, you got to go to lunch here, you got all the time in the world, please let us know.
Yeah,
send us in something on Twitter or Instagram, I guess.
We're good golf courses. Let us know a good golf course.
Yeah, because we can drive there.
Yes.
So we can just load it all up in the back. It's not a bad idea. Okay.
Moving on from that.
I think, I know I have one last thing to close on, but I think that's it otherwise. You have anything else?
Are we talking to ISIS?
No. Yeah, this is legitimate.
No, I mean,
do you have anything else?
No, maybe a quick SEC
okay.
roundabout, but okay, nothing on the Tennessee side
okay,
of things.
I'll say this Tennessee related.
Still need to talk about.
what our conversations during a break would sound like. Okay, I asked you this question during our preview all the way back in November.
Yes.
Okay? I'm going to ask it to you again. The Final Four is on April 6th. From Phoenix, Arizona, right? My cousin is getting married on April 6th in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, I've already got the clearance. You know, if Tennessee's in, go ahead, do your job, go cover the game. All is good, right? But if Tennessee's not in it, then I will obviously be at that wedding. What do you forecast my plans will be for April the 6th? Does Tennessee make it out of the Midwest region? Or am I going to be driving down to Atlanta on that Saturday?
I mean, I don't mean to sound like such a hater, but I think you're going to be going to Atlanta for
yeah,
money.
I think so, too.
That would be my
I think so, too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. These things...
I think it's a tough route.
It's you never know at the NCAA tournament, and I talk about how I thought Creighton was a bad matchup. Creighton might not even make it out of the first
sure.
weekend. They could... What is it, McNeese State that they have in the first game?
Akron,
okay. I don't know much about Akron, but... South
is it Akron who is here because of that win over Long Beach, because of that fluke, or was that a different team that beat Long Beach on the intentional foul? Do you know
I don't think that
about?
I thought that was Akron, but they would not have been playing Long Beach because Long Beach and Akron
Ohio, that makes
are
sense.
Certainly
that
not
makes
in the same
sense
conference.
Now that you're saying that,
but I do think that was Akron. I just don't think it was against Long Beach that happened against.
Oh, okay, all right. I think that they were the recipients of that play, though. Either way. Again, just my, you know, my final thought from it is I can see a couple of different teams from this region making it out. But then at the end of the day, everybody's trying to get past number one seed in the region, Purdue. And that's obviously a tough matchup. You see the way that Purdue games are called. I think Tennessee fans especially took notice when there was a lot of conversation between Dalton Connect and Zach Edey for Player of the Year. But they were the long-running number one overall projected seed for a reason. They're a really good team. This is a team that actually there are three teams, again, in this bracket that Tennessee has taken a loss to this year. So can they do it? Sure. This is a team that won the SEC regular season tournament for a reason. I think they have the firepower to do so. They have Dalton Connect, who is a legitimate Player of the Year contender. they have the ability to do so, but I do think it's going to be tough. And obviously, if you're just going from an odds perspective, yeah, you're going to take the field. But I do think it's going to be real tough for Tennessee to come into that weekend. But I do think that they make it to Detroit. I don't know what arena that is. Red Wings Arena, I think that's what it's called.
Is it Quicken Loans?
Maybe.
No, I think that used to be Cleveland.
I was actually thinking that was Cleveland, too, but I didn't want to say it and, you know, sound real bad on it. But either way.
I know Detroit hasn't won a whole lot of games. The Pistons haven't won a whole lot of games there this year.
It's true. If Tennessee can win two games in it, they might have they might tie the Pistons' record this year for most wins inside that arena in 2024. But, yeah, we will see. We will see whether I am in Phoenix or at a wedding. All right. Closing thoughts on the SEC. You kind of led the podcast talking about how Auburn got Auburn just got an unfortunate draw from a location perspective, going all the way to Spokane,
Alabama's
Washington.
Alabama's out there too, right?
Alabama's going all the way out there too. Maybe they all can carpool together, you know, to the airport, and then from there, if you put rivalries aside. But this is also an Auburn team that I really thought might make a good push for a three seed coming out of the SEC tournament. The way they dominated South Carolina the other day. They obviously beat Florida in the championship game. Now, maybe if that was against maybe if they had gotten there by beating Tennessee and a Kentucky, maybe that does a little bit different. But I was definitely surprised to see the Tigers still as a four seed coming up, especially being in UConn's section of the bracket as well. That's just it's a miserable team for a miserable draw for a team that literally just ran the table in the SEC tournament.
Yeah, and I mean, Alabama also is out there too, which is funny from the standpoint of those two teams both played in Birmingham last year, and the first week said I had them.
That's so true.
The shortest, the shortest possible drive they could have had into the longest possible trip. Obviously, not a drive.
Unbelievable.
Obviously, like you mentioned earlier, South Carolina is matched up with Tennessee for a potential Sweet 16 matchup if they made a run. That's obviously interesting. And then I would just go to the South, which I think is, to me, the most compelling region, if I can speak.
Nice.
Marquette, with the possibility of facing Florida in the round of 32, I think would be a super fun game. And then the same thing goes for a Florida-Kentucky rematch or a Marquette-Kentucky game in the Sweet 16, I think would be super, super fun. Kentucky gets NC State, Texas Tech. They can get past Oakland. I think Kentucky would beat either of those things, either of those teams. I think Kentucky got a good draw. But maybe the DJ Burns and the cardiac pack magic continues. So
hey, how about that? He went beast mode in that win over North Carolina yesterday. I think 20 points, 7 rebounds, had a couple of real nice plays.
For a guy
playing his third game in a row or whatever.
Fifth
game in a row. I mean, that's got to be impressed by that.
Did you see my Instagram story this afternoon?
No.
I had a DJ Burns hype video on there.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love DJ Burns. I do too. Real nice.
Showtime.
Real nice.
Good for him. Good for NC State. Good for Kevin Keats. He probably saved his job making that run. So probably the, I don't know, I mean, the most bid stealers ever, I think, this week in conference tournaments. 5 of them. So that led to some teams getting snubbed, getting out of the bubble, but a couple SEC teams survived. Mississippi State, Texas A&M, they both got in the field. Mississippi State pretty easily as an 8 seed, which isn't surprising. I think they were going to get in despite that. But
the Aggies.
Bad year to be on the bubble, for sure.
Certainly. Certainly, certainly. All right. I am taking one last look at the bracket, trying to see if there's anything that left for us to talk about. But I think that's it. I think that is it. So we'll go ahead and wrap this up. Obviously, we need to get our travel situation booked down ourselves. But in the meantime, we're going to be checking out this matchup. Again, 2-seed Tennessee taking on 15-seed St. Peter's in the first round of the Midwest region from Charlotte, North Carolina. Tennessee going to either play 7-seed Texas, 10-seed Virginia, or 10-seed Colorado State in the second round. And then we go onwards and upwards from there. Obviously, stay tuned to Rocky Top Insider throughout the week as we bring you Tennessee news, notes, and coverage from the basketball program. Otherwise, Tennessee football also kicking off spring practice on Monday. Now, It's going to be a little bit tough. Ryan and I are both heading to Charlotte for the basketball coverage. So football coverage may be a little slower, but we will still have everything that you need to know. We will still have everything posted over to our YouTube account, so make sure you are following that to get all of the press conference news. Speaking of press conferences, if you want to go and see what Rick Barnes, Tobe Awaka, or Santiago Vescovi said today after Tennessee received their selection, go ahead and check out Rocky Top Insider on YouTube. Otherwise, we're going to wrap this thing up. It is late on a Sunday. I need to go pick up dinner at some point on my way home. I'm sure you might as well, just knowing you in advance. But that's kind of the plan for today. So otherwise, thank you so much for listening to the show today. For Ryan Shumpert, I'm Rick Butler. You've been listening to the Rocky Top Insider Press Pass podcast. March Madness is upon us. We'll see you in Charlotte.